You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
21st Century American Trade Agenda offers every member of this body the chance to stand up for American workers, American farmers, American entrepreneurs, and American manufacturers.
While Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell sides with the president, Ohio Democrat Sherrod Brown doesn't like many past trade deals.
Our trade deals amount to corporate handouts and worker sellouts.
This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
You could be losing your vision and not even know it. May is Healthy Vision Month, and Dr. Henry Wiley of the National Eye Institute says you shouldn't put off getting a comprehensive eye exam.
A number of conditions can cause problems inside the eye without much in the way of symptoms in advance to warn a patient or tip a patient off.
Dr. Wiley says risk factors for eye problems include age, family history, diabetes, and high blood pressure. He adds that there's no substitute for a full eye exam, and everyone should have their eyes checked out even if they've never had vision problems. Dr. Henry Wiley of the National Eye Institute says people with diabetes have to take special care of their eyes.
Make sure that you're getting comprehensive dilated eye exams on a schedule recommended by your primary doctor and by your vision care professional to make sure you are catching changes from diabetes.
A little girl in Arkansas is alive because her parents gave their life to shield her from a tornado. Authorities believe Melissa and Michael Mooneyhan died protecting their 18-month-old daughter from the tornado that tore apart the couple's mobile home in Nashville, Arkansas on Sunday. County emergency officials say the toddler wasn't injured at all. Ordering a pizza has gotten easier over the years, but soon all it will take is a tweet. Domino's is set to unveil a new tweet-to-order system that allows customers to use the social media app to complete an order. Those who are regulars at Domino's will be able to log into Twitter and simply tweet a pizza emoji to the @Domino's handle. Oh, make mine a pepperoni at my house soon. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of Modern Design. I'm very pleased today to have my guest Stephen Taylor of Stephen Taylor Photography. Photography has been something that I've been very interested in for a very long time, and the beauty of capturing images, I think, is something that's an art. And Stephen is an expert at that. Why don't you say good morning, Stephen?
Good morning, Richard.
We'll be talking today a lot about photography, but why don't we start with talking about the weather, which is ever-changing and seems to be a lot different today. So let's see what the computer is telling me for the weather for this morning. Okay. It was nice for it to be a little bit cooler this morning, wasn't it? Okay. All right, starting with today, it says that we're going to be seeing partly sunny skies with a high of 67, which is a lot different than yesterday, which I think got reached up to about 88 degrees. Tonight, it's going to be mostly clear with a low of 42 degrees. On Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 70. So nice temperatures next couple of days. Thursday night, mostly clear, and there'll be a low of 46. And on Friday, mostly high with a sunny with a high of 73 degrees. So it looks like we're back sort of in the 70s, and we're going to have some sort of a spring weather, which sounds good, doesn't it, Stephen?
Sounds great.
Okay. As I was saying, that Stephen Taylor is my guest today, and I've always been interested in photography because I feel that for capturing an image is almost like each person's individual take on what beauty of something is, or capturing an image. And you can certainly see in any situation where you go to a function and people are viewing are the same image, but some people are able to capture that image where other people can't capture what's in that image. So why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got started in photography, and your passion about it.
Sure. Well, this is the thing I'm definitely passionate about. Since age 10, I've been a photographer, grew up in New York City, and I've always had a darkroom and printed images and loved taking pictures. One of the things I definitely want to talk about is the distinction between a portrait artist and a photographer. Okay. I started off as a photographer. I was a photographer for, I've been in the business for over 30 years, but most of the time I was a photographer, now I'm a portrait artist. So there's a huge distinction, because pretty much everyone's a photographer out there these days. If you have a cell phone or a camera, you're a photographer. What's the difference, right? Everybody takes snapshots. Everybody takes really nice pictures. Digital cameras these days have been perfected to a point where the images are pretty good. So I had to really separate myself from a photographer to become a portrait artist. And the difference is, a portrait artist is someone who just doesn't take a picture. It's someone who designs actually do consultations with clients. We actually design a photograph. We design a piece of artwork as if we were a painter. So if you were Renoir or John Singer Sargent, you wouldn't just go in and just draw somebody. You would actually design something to fit into their home, into their estate, into even a condominium. You'd want to design something that would be something unique, something special, and something to tell a story. So you talk about my history. Taking pictures all those years as a photographer, one thing I didn't realize was the value of what I was creating, because I was just taking lots of pictures. And I realized one day, I looked back at my family history, and I saw that I had no images of my grandparents, great-grandparents. Where are they from? What are they about? Who are they? And it was really an emptiness in my life. And I said, wouldn't it be great if we had these wonderful family portraits, like some people had, the DuPont families, and you go into these large homes, they all had these, they were documented by oil painters, not by photographers. And I said, how great would it be if people were able to document their families so they could have history, they'd have an heirloom. And what I noticed was that people that wanted something very special didn't want something to look like a photograph. They wanted it to look like an oil painting. Right. Now, oil painting obviously could be $50,000 or $100,000 to do. A photograph is a lot less money. Right. And so I said, why don't I create something that looks like an oil painting, so it looks like home decor. Right. Doesn't look like a photograph anymore. Because right. Where would we put our photographs? You put it on a piano, it's an 8x10.
In little frames, an 8x10 or 4x6 frame.
Exactly. Frame. In our basement, right. In our little family room.
Right.
But it wouldn't be in a distinguished display place prominently in your home, maybe in a family, in a fireplace, right. Or in a living room or formal dining room.
Right.
What would I do to create that? I had to create it to look like an oil painting. To look like a piece of art.
Right.
I had to pose the people so there's a relationship, there's something very caring, very loving, something that they'll remember forever, and pass on to future generations.
And also a statement.
So and a statement.
A statement. Exactly.
So that was my journey, was to figure out how to do that.
Okay.
And that's what I've created. So I don't no longer consider myself Stephen Taylor Photography, it's more Stephen Taylor Portrait Artist.
Okay.
And our studio's in Brownsville, and I've redesigned the whole studio to look like a home. So when people come in, they envision and imagine what would that portrait look like for them and their family.
And then it's also probably a soft background, which is nice, and also it's a comfort to them. If the environment is relaxing, I think the people will be more relaxed. I guess my question to you as an artist, a photographer and an artist, is how do you, I would think that your view when you look at an object or a person, you're able to zoom in on beauty or edit out or create based upon your own life experience. And I don't know, can you articulate that maybe a little bit with us?
Sure.
When I see a very good photographer, I see that they can capture an image, like truth. Does that make sense to you, that you can capture something that's there, mm-hmm. but maybe not necessarily physically there, obvious? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, the purpose of the portrait artist is to create something that's going to be a memory of who people realistically are. I wish you were on television because I did bring an image here of Emmy Gordon and her horse.
Beautiful picture.
Yeah, thank you. And what it was really about was, there's a story behind this image. We met her at Gil St. Bernard's when my son went to school, and son was friends with her, and we knew that she was leaving for college, and she was really going to miss her horse.
Right.
And she keeps her horse in the Old Wick area, and she said, Steve, wouldn't it be great if we could do a portrait of, actually her mother, Andre, said, portrait of my daughter and her horse, and give it to her as a gift one day, so that she'd have this, because she's really going to miss this horse. So we spent a whole evening with her and her horse, and took lots of images, and really tried to capture something special that really captured the feeling of how much she loves this horse and how much she's going to miss this horse. She doesn't have brothers or sisters. This is like her brother.
Right.
And so it is like a family member.
Right.
And so I had to create it in a way that it would tell a story that she's going to miss this very favorite horse of hers, and that is something that she's going to have to pass on for future, to have that maybe to her children.
Well, it's a legacy, and that's a beautiful piece.
Thank you. And so that image is actually oil painted. It was actually not just photographed, but you talk about how to enhance it. So you want to make somebody look good. A great artist and photographer knows how to pose people,
right,
to make them look slimmer,
uh-huh,
to make them look younger, to make them look happier.
Well, you're not leaving this room then.
Exactly. And then from there, there's a lot of enhancing. So luckily, with the age of digital, we're able to enhance the images and take 10 to 20 pounds off of somebody and make them look 10 to 20 years younger.
Wow.
And enhance them. And then we actually oil paint that through Corel Paint, which is a painting process.
Now, I guess I'm not understanding. We're going to go into commercial shortly because I'm going to continue with that. It's so interesting. But so you start with a picture. So I'm sort of asking as opposed to telling. So you basically start with an image. You create an image. You take a picture. Then you sort of perfect that. You sort of digitally perfect that. And then how does it transition into an oil painting?
Well, we'll start the process with a consultation. We have to sit down and get to know the family dynamics. We have to know who's who, how they relate. Do you have a minute to just tell you a story?
Yes.
So years ago when I started doing this, I met a family, and the one thing they told me after they saw the images, they said, I don't think you captured my family. I said, what happened? So the father of the family is the huggy, kissy, big guy. And I really wanted to have the images with him hugging everybody from behind. That's how we always took pictures.
Right.
And that was before the consultations. After that, I said, I'm never going to do another portrait without getting to know the family first.
Because you want to know the story.
Exactly. That's the beginning of it. After the break or whatever, I'll be glad to tell you more.
Okay. We'll be back with more of Modern Design.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Okay, and we're back with Modern Design. My guest today is artist and portrait photographer Stephen Taylor of Bernardsville, New Jersey. Before commercial, we were talking about telling a story using photography to tell a story and to getting to know the backstory. And you were starting to tell us that when you meet a family or a group, you start by doing a consultation. So if we can go back to that, that would be great.
Yes, Richard, this is the part you're going to love because being a designer and a decorator, this is exactly what one of the elements of what we do. The family portrait is going to fit in their home.
Right.
It's going to be something that they're going to have for 30 years. It's an investment.
Right.
It's not something that's inexpensive.
Right.
If you do it right. And it's something they're going to pass on. So it's a very important art piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you know as a decorator and designer that it has to really blend into their home. If not, it's going to be in a closet somewhere. As
exactly.
We see many of the images that we have from the past are in scrapbooks and in the closet.
Right.
We don't want that to happen because it's meaningless at that point. So I like to meet with the people and do a consultation and planning session. And what that's really about is I like to see photographs of their home.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I go to their home.
Right.
I like to see where it's going to be displayed.
Right.
I want to know the colors of the room. I want to know the direction. If it's on the left side, I don't want the people facing left. I want them facing more the right.
Right.
I want to know if it's a formal dining room. What are they going to wear? Is it going to be formal clothing or are they going to wear casual?
So you want the portrait to really match the decor of the space.
Exactly. That's a large part.
If you're going to do a family room picture, probably the portrait would be less formal than if you were going to do it over in a library or like over a fireplace perhaps.
It depends where the fireplace. If it's a formal
right.
fireplace in a formal room, it would be more formal with dress clothes, tuxedos possibly.
Now, do you, with these portraits that you take, do you tell people what to wear? Do you allow them to wear what they want to wear? Do you guide them towards what to wear? Or
I have to guide them because people really don't understand what looks good in a photograph.
Right.
And one of the things I do is I show them color palettes. So I show them images of beach scenes,
right.
of forest scenes, of fall color scenes
mm-hmm.
by their swimming pool. And we get to select a blend of colors.
Right.
And then what I tell them to do is when you take your clothing out, lay them out on the floor of the bed.
Okay.
And squint. And whatever color stands out, that's the person that's going to stand out.
Well, is there a trick to that with photography? You know, one of the things that I do as an interior designer is I do staging. And
I guess maybe a third of my business lately happens to be staging for, you know, selling houses, getting them ready, in fact, and making them look good. But part of me making them look good is also making them good, look good on camera. Because today when people go to buy a house, their first step is actually going on the internet and going through the list of pictures. And the houses that pop, the houses that have the right colors, that the camera really it appeals, that's appealing on camera, those are the houses often that get looked at. Whether or not that they wind up buying that house, that's a different story, but that's the first step. With photographing, portrait photograph, are there certain colors in general that are just agreeable?
Well, obviously we want to see the faces.
Right.
So I often tell people, first of all, long sleeves, because the arms really, where does your eye go first? That's when it goes to the brightest part of the subject. So if you see,
that's good to know, because let's back up and bring that down a little bit for listeners. So your eye goes to the brightest part of the subject. That's very interesting. I mean, there's a lot to that.
Exactly. The busiest or the brightest.
Okay.
And you want to focus the viewer's attention to something so that you focus them into what's valuable and important in the image. And if somebody's wearing bright stripes or orange or pink, what are they going to see? They're going to see that rather than seeing the people.
Right.
So in photographs, we tend jewel tones, very natural tones,
okay,
very very sort of toned down tones.
Right.
So that's really the key of a great photograph. You want to see the people.
Exactly. And, you know, some people, as myself, are uncomfortable with photography. Some people, and this is very interesting, I think, with people. There are certain people out there, if I could say, that are gorgeous and take gorgeous photographs. I've met people that are gorgeous and take awful photographs, and I've met people that are not necessarily attractive and look good on film.
Right.
What is behind that, you think? Is it confidence? Is it lighting? Is it the angles of someone's face? Why is someone photogenic as opposed to not being photogenic?
Well, a lot of it is a great portrait artist knows how to light somebody.
Okay.
So I could take someone who has a very white face and thin it out by changing the lighting.
Right.
So now someone who feels uncomfortable about the way they look because they maybe have a full face or full figure,
right,
I can cut them a third of it just by the lighting.
Right, right.
And then positioning. Where do we position somebody?
Right.
Here's another trick that people might want to hear. Uh-huh. Whatever's closest to the camera is going to be largest.
Okay.
So if you have someone that's larger than the other people in the group,
you should put them back.
Put them back.
Uh-huh.
Hide them a little bit behind people.
Right.
Turn them to the side. A straight-on picture, people look widest.
Wow.
So women typically are never photographed straight-on.
Right.
They look like a football player.
Right.
No matter
how
thin they are.
Right.
A man is more broad. A man looks more distinctive by having broader shoulders.
Right.
A woman looks more elegant by turning her to a 45-degree angle.
This is the stuff that our listeners are really interested in. Because I think we're all looking to, especially today, like you say, with the technology, with these phones that are, with the cameras in that are so good, we're seeing in all the social media, we're seeing picture, 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 and everybody wants to be as beautiful as they could possibly be or present the best image they could possibly be, even if it's not even realistic.
Yep.
That's the image. So tricks like this, are really valuable. I'm certainly taking in. Each week on Modern Design, I learn from each guest and their expertise, and I think we're lucky to have that. But these tips that are so quick to you are just so, you want to write them down because they're so good to us. You know, to us, and can really enrich the way we take pictures.
Another big one is, and most people take selfies, don't realize this, but a wide angle lens is going to make you look larger.
Okay.
So we always use a telephoto lens. Sometimes you'll see me 50 feet away doing a portrait, and people ask, why are you so far away?
Right.
And they say, because this is the lens that thins you out.
Okay.
And everybody wants to look thinner, right?
Now,
so that's another thing.
Here's another thing that I find. Do you ever use, on your phone, we all have this feature called FaceTime. Do you ever use FaceTime? I can't even do FaceTime because the picture is so in your face. I look like I'm all face, like a moon face. So I cannot, if I get a call and it's on FaceTime, I deny the call. So is that the same principle, whereas you have something that's too close, it's all about proportion?
Exactly. It's all about proportion. And you know, as a designer, that the way you proportion things in the way you are actually laying the room out to do the staging is the same thing.
Exactly.
The bright colors are going to stand out. The things that are large are going to stand out. And so you're going to place them appropriately.
When you want to get somebody to have like a thin or their best facade, is it better to turn them on an angle? I guess what we want to tell our because we only have an hour, but we want to give our listeners sort of hard and set rules of how to take a better picture.
Yeah.
So is there an angle that you like to put people on? I notice a lot of times women, in general, I think women often take pictures better than men, and I wonder if that's because confidence or body language. Men sometimes tend to be, I think, stiff in mm-hmm. photographs, because I think that's how we're raised. We're supposed to be tough and stiff. But I notice women a lot will lean in, or they sort of do something with their body where you see when they photograph, it just photographs better. Are there tricks to how you position your body?
Oh, definitely. So one of the reasons why women tend to be better is women started off younger, taking dance lessons, ballet lessons, so they know some of the positions to stand in. They know the poses. And you never want to photograph a woman, especially, who always wants to look elegant and glamorous. I should talk for everybody, but most do.
Right.
At a 45-degree angle.
Okay.
Because now what are you looking at? Instead of looking at a full, say, 12 to 15 inches, 18 inches of a body, you're only looking at 8 to 12 inches of the body. So that slimmed them immediately to do that.
Right.
Now, the other thing to realize is when you're photographing somebody is whether they're sitting or standing is what angle you're shooting up. If you're shooting up, someone's going to look taller. You're shooting down, they're going to look a little shorter.
Wow.
So there's a lot of secrets that photographers do.
Right.
But making someone feel comfortable is the most important thing.
Right.
And a lot of got to understand what the photograph's really about.
Okay.
And a lot of people compare going to a portrait artist or a photographer as going to
a
dentist.
But we should really qualify. You're really a portrait artist.
Yes.
No more than just a photographer. You're not taking passport pictures. You do
exactly.
you do portrait photography.
With digital these days, everyone's a photographer. So the real portrait artists are the people who've studied the classics of John Singer Sargent and Gainsborough, Renoir,
right.
and Rembrandt.
Uh-huh.
And we really understand how to make somebody really look their best. And one of the things that you have to realize is the comfort zone is very important. An image, a lot of people feel very uncomfortable as if they're going to a dentist. And I say, this is not a dentist, but the comparison is you're photographing their soul.
Right.
The eye is the window to their soul,
right.
to their heart.
Right.
And so it's a very personal, very intimate thing that you're doing.
Right.
And that's why people are not comfortable getting their picture taken.
Right.
A lot of people, I believe in Africa, they feel it's almost against their religion because it's taking away from their soul.
Right.
And so this is a very deep thing, and you have to have a real comfort level. That's another purpose of the consultation, is that they feel comfortable
with you. Well, you're very warm, and I think you probably make people feel comfortable.
Yeah,
you know?
And fun.
Right.
It's got to be fun.
And it should be fun, right?
Yeah.
Having your picture taken, having a portrait done, a portrait that's going to go in your home, it should be fun. It shouldn't be scary.
Exactly. It's an experience, actually, and you
okay.
want to create that experience. So whether you're creating it with a selfie or whether you're going to a professional, you've got to feel comfortable, because if you don't, they're going to be stiff.
Right.
The other trick is you want to put the weight on the back foot.
Put the weight on the back foot. Wow. I'm like writing these down. If you didn't see me in studio, I'm writing these down because they're really good. But why is that? Because your distribution of...
So distribution of weight. You want to put the weight behind you. So what's in front of the camera is the thin part of you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it also gives you a little bit of a stance. We can talk more about a man is a C curve. He's sitting sort of bent over in a C curve, and a woman is an S curve.
Okay.
You want them to look more like an S because it's more statuesque.
Exactly.
So there's all these little tricks.
Now here are just things that I picked up along the way. And I'm certainly I have an artist eye too, like you, but in a different way. And you really know faces in photography. I always say, now I'm blonde, but I always say people with dark hair and light skin always seem to photograph better to me because there's a contrast. And when you see that on film, often I see like brunettes on film, specifically women, sometimes the image is just so striking because there's a contrast. Now, am I off with that, or that just depends on the lighting? Do you know what I'm saying? All I do, being a designer and doing color consultation, color is the absorption of light. So when you get the balance of that right, that's really something. So is there something to that when you photograph people or people of different ethnicities or coloring?
Yeah, well, that's very important to take in consideration, is that you want to correct the lighting for that. So somebody who does have less features as far as contrast goes, you're going to have to use more contrast lighting.
So it's all about a sense of balance with you.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And generally, do people with contrast, like darker hair and lighter skin, photograph better or not necessarily?
You're just compensated with lighting. It should be the same in the end.
It's all of sense of balance.
Right.
And
you're
so
just
on.
Probably taking more snapshots, so you're not really seeing that, which is what most photographers do, snapshots.
Well, do you do test shots first before you take the final image? Do you take shots that are sort of like preview shots so you get it right? I mean, is that something that you...
I do use, this is one of my little tricks. I do have an iPad which is synced to my camera, and so it's tethered. So I could see it come up right away.
Wow, so you're going to get a good shot. Okay, well, we're just about to go to news, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Thank you.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Passengers on board the Amtrak train that derailed in Philadelphia described their terrifying experience.
Phones, laptops started flying in the air, and you heard things buckling.
Jeremy Vladis tells Fox and Friends he was in one of the train cars that eventually came to a rest at a 30-degree angle.
And I kind of got wedged in under the seat, and people, when I looked up, there were two women who were catapulted.
Paul Passamano says the derailment felt like a roller coaster ride gone wrong.
Now, I'm a 6-foot guy, 215 pounds, and it threw me 20 feet in front.
I'm Joe Gomez.
The death count has now risen to 6 people. 25 were treated and released at an area hospital, while another 25 are still being treated. There are reports that New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is hiring a legal powerhouse to represent him in appealing his NFL suspension. ESPN reports Jeffrey Kessler is joining Brady's legal team. Kessler helped establish free agency in the league 20 years ago. This is USA Headline News.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10 Tuna Chew Weight Loss System from ILikeHowILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nufina, probably, I want to say 60, 65 days ago, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nufina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nufina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10 Tuna Chew Weight Loss System from ILikeHowILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. This could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeHowILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeHowILook.com.
Okay, and we are back with Modern Design. If you'd ever like to come visit me, my name is Richard Scuderi, and my company is Maven Hill Designs. I'm located conveniently in Flemington at the Kitchen Expo Plaza, 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. One of the things that I'm starting to do is ask you to text me your pictures of your homes. I like to display them sometimes in social media. And if you have questions, text me some of your questions. I'd love to look at your projects and see if I can give you advice and so on. If you're just tuning into us now, I'm very pleased to have, as I consider my friend and also expert artist and photographer, Stephen Taylor. Stephen, why don't you tell us where you're located again?
I'm located in the center downtown of Burnsville, Route 202 Mount Airy Road, 3 Elcott Square.
Very good. And then last night I had a chance to research you a little bit more, and I went to your Facebook page, so I saw beautiful pictures on your Facebook page. And also tell us what your website is.
Website is Stephen, spelled with a P-H, TaylorPhoto.com, StephenTaylorPhoto.com.
Very good. And you should check that out because his work is quite beautiful and very, very distinctive, if you will. If you're just, again, tuning into us, we're talking about portrait photography and how to make that artwork in your home. And Stephen is an expert of photography, but also he has a process where he'll take your picture, if you will, and turn it into an oil painting, an art piece, something that is an heirloom piece that you would take with you, and hopefully your children will want it. Your grandchildren will probably definitely want it, but your children maybe not want it right away. But the thought is that it's something that's an investment that you're going to carry with you and so on. And we were talking about positioning people because I think most people in my life are very concerned about their appearance, probably more so now than ever. And with the social media and everybody is a star now and everybody's on the internet and everybody's face is everywhere with FaceTime and all these things, people want to look good in photographs. And you were giving us some really terrific things to do to make ourselves look the best that we possibly can. And of course, after you have the image, then you can sort of change it a little bit. But we were talking last week when you were going to come on the show about people saying to you sometimes they want you to really take their image to not be their image anymore, and that's not something that you like to do.
Well, you want something realistic, because if you're going to hand it down to future generations, you want to know somewhat what people look like.
Exactly.
So there is a whole process in creating this oil-painted look.
Okay.
I can go into detail.
Well, I want to boil it down, because I find it beautiful. I mean, the end result, what you have here, is a beautiful. And I'll certainly get out the pictures on social media of some of your work, which I think is great. But let's start the process. I decide that I have a beautiful family. They're at the right point of their life that I feel like now is when I want want to capture the image. I go to your website. I see your work. I see it's beautiful. What's the next step in the process?
Well, you've got a great starting point, because one of the biggest things that people miss out in their life is, and I hear this all the time, is I wish I would have done that portrait, because my kids are in college. They don't want to pose anymore. They're
right.
Married now with kids. They don't want it. We can't get them together. They live all over the country.
Sure.
So there are some right times to do that.
Sure.
Starting at 3.5 years old is perfect for the children,
right.
and things like that. But the process after the consultation, we do the portrait, takes
right.
about an hour.
Now, do you do, and not to interrupt, but do you do the consultation usually in their home or your home?
I like to do it in the studio.
Right,
and the reason
studio.
For that is my studio, or it looks like a home. It
okay.
has a fireplace.
It does. I saw the studio. Yeah. It looks like it's a home environment, but it's actually in the facility in Bernard.
It's a retail location storefront, but it looks like a home, because
right.
I want people to be able to imagine what your portrait's going to look like on your wall,
right.
in front of this table, over this sofa.
Right.
And that's where the process begins. And we go through, like I said, clothing, locations, timing, lighting, and so on.
Right.
After the portrait session is done, and that's the fun experience, doing the portrait, it's
okay.
the one opportunity where your family gets together and gets to feel the love, the expression.
Right.
Like I say, we're all about capturing the spirit.
Exactly.
More love, more feeling.
I think what you're trying to do is tell a story, aren't you?
Exactly.
Right.
So that's the opportunity, because how often does your family get together all dressed up, whether it be beach clothes or khakis and jeans or whatever, or formal clothes, and you get to hug each other and be close and really feel each other.
Right.
After that's over, I invite the family in, and it's very important that the all decision makers, typically the husband and wife, be there. It's extremely important. Mm. This is a family investment.
Right.
You wouldn't buy a home without the husband and wife being there. You wouldn't buy a large investment, something that's going to last for 30 more years, with the decision makers not being there.
Exactly.
And I insist that both of them be there, because
sure.
they come into my gallery. I have a projection room.
Okay.
I project the images on a 96-inch screen.
Wow, so you're really getting a big resolution.
Right.
There.
And one thing I do is I have them take images of their home. So
okay.
it might be an image of their family room. And then I present their new image. I import that image onto the picture they sent me of their home.
Oh.
So they see
how it's going to
fit. What their new image is going to look like in their home framed.
Right.
And I size it. And we say, this is too big. Keep going down. Up. Perfect size.
Right.
So every client I have is thrilled that they walk away with an image that fits their home exactly, and it looks perfect for their home.
Wow.
The next step is, once you selected the images for their home, it might be a collection of one or more images.
Right.
I then go through the process of the artwork.
Right.
So the artwork is retouching.
Okay.
Slimming, enhancing. I told you the funny story about the guy who was 85 years old who was watching me do it, and he kept saying, younger, younger, younger. I said, sir, I don't mind taking you from 85 to 70, but 45 is just a little too much.
Well, just knowing you could do that, that's power.
Exactly. People love that part. But we don't want to do too much. We want
right.
it to look realistic, as you
exactly.
said. Exactly. And then from there, many of the images, we want to paint them.
Right.
So the painting is a digital effect in Corel Painter. And what that's really about is having the images look exactly like a Renoir or a Gainsborough image.
All right, so let's break that down a little bit, because for our listeners, I don't know that they exactly know what that is. So once you have the image, you have the portrait done. The clients love the portrait. You have it as a photography.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, so what? How does it? Is it technology that makes it look like an oil painting? What is it actually that makes it become what you're showing me today here, which is an image that looks like an oil painting?
The first step would be the digital enhancing of the oil painting look.
Okay.
So there's actually software programs that we use.
It's a software program
yep.
that takes that, I guess I create it where people say they can make themselves into a cartoon. Is it
yep.
kind of like that, if you will? It's
no.
And I mean, to take away from how sophisticated this is, but I mean, it's a program that makes those changes.
Exactly. It's a program that an artist has paintbrushes,
okay.
digital paintbrushes,
okay.
on the screen,
okay.
where they use a palette, a pen,
okay.
as they're retouching, and they actually paint strokes of paint digitally
right.
onto the image.
Right.
And so now the image has an appearance of an oil painting, not a photograph.
Now what you have, and I wish our listeners could actually see this, yeah. but they'll see it on social media, is what you have behind you as your backdrop looks just like a regular oil painting.
Exactly, because now the brush strokes gives it more of an impression.
Well, I'm seeing light, I'm seeing shadows, I'm seeing depth, and what appears to be brush strokes almost.
Yeah, so it's about 40 hours of work that can go into some of these images.
Wow.
And I actually have an artist that does that for me. I do not do that myself, but
okay.
I go back and forth with this artist. The one you're looking at here, the finished product in my studio took 3 months to produce.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and so once it's digitally enhanced, I bring the client back in and they approve it. I want them to love it before this goes any further because this costs a lot of money to do. You don't want to make a mistake. And usually they're fine, maybe a couple of enhancements. Uh-huh. And then the next step is they print it onto photographic paper.
Okay.
They then peel the photographic paper, there's an emulsion, and they heat press it onto an oil-painted canvas that the masters use.
Okay.
So as you've seen, what does a painter use? They buy at the art store.
Right.
Canvas.
Regular canvas, right.
It's a material.
Right.
And they actually heat press this onto the canvas.
So it looks as if it's actually
painted.
So
now it's a real, looks like a real oil painting.
Because here it is on a canvas.
Right. And then, in many cases, we take oil paints and we actually oil paint the canvas.
Oh.
Not the whole painting,
okay.
But parts of it to enhance it.
The picture that you have today, is there did they do that with that? Is there oil paint
this
over
stuff
that?
They did not.
Wow.
You see how beautiful it is without it.
I'm surprised.
Have a 60-inch print of this in my studio, which is actually all painted on top, and then they glaze it with a glazed finish that has it, the colors, the depth, the brilliance of it looks like a true oil painting.
Wow.
You can't tell the difference. The one thing that everyone says when they come into my studio is this oil painted or is this a photograph? I said it's multimedia. It's a combination of all.
A combination.
And that's the piece that's going to hang and be displayed proudly in your home.
Exactly. Yeah. Unbelievable that you can create, you know, you can really create art in the home. And what's more personalized, what's more important to have in your home than an image of your family, of your loved ones, you know, of yourself, of where you are in your life. So I think to me that's something that's very rewarding and very personal. It's certainly something that you would definitely take with you.
Yes.
Let's talk about framing, because I think framing is also critical. When you have a beautiful piece of art, you do have a portrait now. It's done. The colors are right. How do you go about choosing framing? Is it based upon what's in the room, or is it based upon the image?
Well, if you study with anybody who's a portrait artist, will tell you every image has a perfect size, and every image has a perfect frame.
Okay.
It's really not about the room. Having said that, I also feel, being that you're a designer decorator,
well, I might
the room does help.
Yeah, no, but I also tend to maybe disagree just a little bit with that, because I think, for example, the picture that you have here today, the portrait, has a very formal gold leaf, beautiful frame. Mm-hmm. If I was putting that in a contemporary house, I might take that picture, but keeping in mind the picture and making the frame maybe a little bit simpler and more minimalist, yes, so that it fits into the space. But that's just my personal take on that. It doesn't mean that the picture itself isn't exactly right. It is and would adapt mm-hmm. to every environment. But I think the frame may be a good transition between the artwork and then the room and the energy. In the
I
room.
Agree. Okay. I agree. So, like I said, having said that,
right,
what they say and what I do are two different things.
Okay.
Now, the image you're looking at is a very classical,
image.
Looks like it's an English fox hunting
and
image.
And frankly, it's my own personal taste, actually,
right.
So I really love it.
You might not want to put this in a modern room, but
exactly.
But if you did, you definitely would want to put a frame that fits that. I have frames that are more southwestern, I have frames that are more modern.
So do you do your own framing?
I do my own framing.
Oh, that's very interesting to know.
It's important that I deliver an image that's framed, because that's part of it.
Right, right. And you're giving the whole package.
Exactly.
Let's talk about something, because we're just about to go to commercial, but I want to talk about if someone has a picture. I have a client right now that we've been talking to that had a portrait done by another studio and is very unhappy with it. Can you work with other images? Can you work with other people's images at all and make things better or reframe things for them or do things to make a portrait better for them so people who've made an investment can make things, you know, work for them and then hang them?
A lot of times the framing is everything. Of course, just about all portrait artists are very protective about copyright rules and
right.
probably wouldn't be able to take that image and scan it in and work with it.
Right.
But maybe that other photographer would be, a portrait artist would be open to me talking to them with some suggestions to read.
But
it
is, after something was paid for and it's property of the homeowners or the family that bought it, could you do something with that?
Technically, it's still ownership of
the
portrait.
Oh, really?
Yes. Any whether it's an oil paint or whatever.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have ownership of that.
Right.
So legally, it probably wouldn't be ethical to do that.
But But perhaps maybe just reframing a picture?
Reframing, I think, would help, or redoing it from scratch. Sometimes that's the best thing to do.
Okay, we're about to go to commercial, but we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Ashore Shred. I love being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Active involvement in it has given us numerous opportunities to meet other business owners and simultaneously has helped Ashore Shred to grow.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today. You're listening to hunterdonchamberradio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And we're back with Modern Design. My guest today is Stephen Taylor of Stephen Taylor Photography in Bernardsville, New Jersey. And just give us your website again, Stephen, of where people can go to see your work.
Yes, it's www.stephen, spelled with a P-H, taylorphoto.com, stephentaylorphoto.com.
You know, every time I go to send you an email or write something to you, I always put that V in there first, the Stephen. I guess it's hard with the PH, you know, not as popular. Looks better, but not as popular to do it. I'm always having to get rid of that V and go on. So before we had broke for commercial, we were talking about portrait photography and how you have this wonderful process where you can take an image and actually turn it into a piece of art for your home. We were talking about framing and how important it was once you have that beautiful image done and it does look like an oil painting. And sometimes, in fact, they actually put some oil paint on the canvas that the framing is the finishing touch on the portrait for the home. And then when we were on commercial break, you were talking about sizing and how important that is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about as far as getting that correct and getting a portrait for your home done correctly.
Yes, Richard. You know, talking about modern design, how you design this project is everything, because in the end, what do you have? You have this beautiful portrait hung, framed, and everything. So the one thing we're looking for is expression. A great portrait is all about the expression.
Okay.
You could have the hands perfect, you could have everything great technically, but if it doesn't have the expression that tells a story, it's useless and no one's going to ever want to hang it in their home.
Okay.
So the expression is really important. The eyes are the soul to the heart.
Right.
Everybody likes to take smiling pictures, don't we? When we smile, what happens? So when we smile, the first thing that happens is our eyes close down.
Right.
We don't see the soul of our heart. Okay.
Right.
Our cheeks get pudgy,
right.
Lips get thin, so
right.
All the real facial beauties are distorted when we smile.
I am so glad that you say that, and that is such a big thing for me, because I don't ever smile in pictures, because I think a smile is often a distortion of the beauty of the face, and people always disagree with me with that. And there's something new that's out, and I don't know if our listeners have seen it or not, but there's this new thing out, and it's called Face My Age.
Yes.
Now, have you seen it?
Yes.
If for those of you listeners haven't heard it, it's a new thing. Talk about trending in modern design. It's this new thing out there where you can take an image of yourself. If you go to facemyage.com, you can go to the site and take an image of yourself, and it has a place for you to put your eyes, nose, and mouth, and then it guesses your age based upon where your features lie and the proportions of your features. But the big thing they tell you is never to smile, because this smile distorts the actual image of the face. So it's very telling that you say that.
Exactly. So the first thing you look for is you want to have that. So you want a soft smile, which means almost smiling through your eyes.
Well, you don't want to look pained, right? You don't want to look pained either. I should be clear.
We say smile through your eyes. We almost have your lips together and you smile through your eyes, or maybe a soft smile.
Now, you know what we're doing in this too, because we're looking at each other, trying not to make a happy smile. He's going like this, and I'm
always
like
smiling. I can't help but
you're
smile.
You're a smile guy.
I'm just a happy guy. But anyway, long story short, you want to really capture the true essence of somebody.
Right.
So and then the other part is you want to have the face be the right size.
Okay.
So if you make the image or portrait too big or too small, it's not going to represent that.
Okay.
So if you're doing a single, for example, headshot or a portrait of a child, 70% of life size is the proper size.
So we actually 70%.
Measure from the eyebrows to the bottom of the chin, and a young child is about 3 inches, that should be.
So that, I guess that also stands to reason, if you're photographing five people as a photographing one person, it makes a It makes the whole perspective completely different, doesn't
People
it?
People come in my studio and say, well, that's huge. It's 60 inches or 80 inches.
Right.
Well, you need to have the appropriate size for the image.
Right.
And then if you have a background, you are going to have even larger, because you want to show the background.
Right.
If it's a beautiful image with a beautiful scenery, you've got to show that too. And that's why images that are 40, 60, 80 images are very common.
Okay.
And you want to have the appropriate size. Otherwise, it's like taking someone's watch. Imagine taking your watch, put it on the wall and say, can I read the watch? You can't see the eyes.
No.
So we always make the image, we start off large,
and
make it smaller and smaller until you start to lose the eyes and the expression and the smile. Because that's what stays with us. A child's eyes and lips are going to remain forever.
Is photographing a child, I would imagine, photographing a child its own art? I mean, you become sort of, is it like being almost harder or maybe easier to coax the look you want out of a child than it is necessarily an adult? I mean, once we get to be an adult, we have our own quirks and insecurities about having a photograph taken. Maybe a child in a certain aspect is more open and it's easier.
Yeah. Well, if you look at my website, you go to black and white relationship portraits. Those are the infants. And those are the ones where mommy and daddy are in the picture. They're usually black and white.
Right.
And it's all about the relationships and the closeness and the love we have.
Okay.
Then as they get to ages two, and it's almost impossible to photograph them. So the next time is 3.5. That's when they start to form.
Okay.
And they really have that look, the features. And again, the eyes and lips are going to remain the same for the rest of their lives.
Right.
So you want to capture that.
Exactly.
And 3.5 is a perfect age to 5 or so.
Okay.
And then they get to an awkward age where they start to look a little weird and their teeth are all
right.
messed up.
Right.
And things like that. And so there are different periods, but they are more beautiful because they are natural.
Natural.
Children.
And you really get the true beauty. And yeah. You see that when people often... We just had Mother's Day, and everybody was posting pictures on Facebook and social media of them with their mothers when they were young, including yeah. myself. And the pictures always just look so natural. I think sometimes when we get older and we have things happen to us, we have an image that we think we're supposed to be, we lose some of that in a photograph. We lose some of that natural self that I think that I always say. A picture is truth, and yep. it may not be the truth that you want, yep. but a picture is truth, don't you think?
I agree. I have people come back to me. I've been doing this 30 years.
Right.
My business come back to me 25 years later and thank me over. We didn't appreciate it as much when we got it, but now we really appreciate it. Or somebody's passed on, and we're so glad we have an image of that person.
Right, especially an image like that that's so real. That's something that you can sort of
yeah.
take with you, to your home or pass along to your family.
And sometimes I suggest do individuals because the children are going to fight over that family portrait if you have 5 children.
Right.
And if you do an individual each child, they'll be able to take it with them one day because they'll appreciate it when they're 30, 40, and 50 years old.
Do people ever do a family portrait and then just get 5 of them?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
I know there's a cost involved.
There's a cost involved.
But,
that
right.
usually deters that. And then I also do executive portraits. I mean, if you're going to do a Facebook or a LinkedIn page, you want to get a great job and be represented.
Right.
I look at LinkedIn all the time. I'm like, oh, we got to call in. And right. I look at people and I say, what kind of job do they think they're going to get looking like that?
Right.
I do beautiful executive portraits of people who really want to look professional, distinguished, and some people want to look a little younger there too, but it's really invaluable.
Do people actually say to you, I mean, it's funny, I would think that, but I would say, make me look younger. Do
everybody.
Actually,
everybody.
They say make me look
younger.
My
biggest selling point, yes.
Here's the thing that's very telling. What is something that makes someone look younger? Is it smoother skin? Like, what is something that makes someone look younger?
Well, again, someone who knows what they're doing knows how to light them and position them to make them look younger and thinner. That's one thing.
Well, thinner is obvious because it's less mass, right. but what to the eye is younger?
Well, a lot of it's in the retouching and enhancing. Obviously, the wrinkles around the eyes.
It's wrinkles, removal of wrinkles.
Those are the skin in the eyes.
Maybe brighter eyes.
Brighter eyes.
Okay.
We do a lot of enhancing the eyes to brighten the eyes. We spend about a half hour on the eyes just working on the eyes.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, listen, we're coming down to our last minute. For one more time, I'd like to give your information again. It's Stephen Taylor Photography. You're located?
Stephen Taylor Portrait Artist in Burnsville, New Jersey. What,
right.
phone number?
Yes, the phone
908-696-1100.
And your website?
Stephen, spelled with a P-H, at stephentaylorphoto.com.
Okay, and then if there's any last tips you can give our listeners if they're thinking about having a family portrait done or something like this where they do an investment piece, what would you suggest that they do?
I would say the biggest thing that holds people back is just doing it.
Right.
I have so many people, like I said, just do it.
Right.
Just call us or your local portrait artist and have it done because it's an easy process, it's a lot of fun, and it's an amazing experience. That's the most thing. It's a fun experience.
And as you say, it captures, it's a snapshot into life at a certain time, and maybe you'll appreciate it when you do it, but you know what? 15 years down the road, you'll really appreciate doing it.
Yeah. People are so busy these days, people don't realize this stops a moment in time that you will have forever, and people just forget to do that. Don't forget. Make it happen.
Okay, well, I tell you, I learned so much every day. I learned so much today. I'm going to really practice standing on one foot and turning sideways and looking the best that I can with what I have. So thank you very much for being my guest today. And join us each Wednesday. We're just to let you know, we're going to have a second hour today of Modern Design from 2 to 3. So please join me again at 2 o'clock here at the station for more of Modern Design, our second hour. So until I see you at 2 o'clock, have a good lunch hour, and we'll see you again with more of Modern Design.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Passengers on board the Amtrak train that derailed in Philadelphia described their terrifying experience.
Phones, laptops started flying in the air, and you heard things buckling.
Jeremy Vladis tells Fox and Friends he was in one of the train cars that eventually came to a rest at a 30-degree angle.
And I kind of got wedged in under the seat, and people, when I looked up, there were 2 women who were catapulted.
Paul Passamano says the derailment felt like a roller coaster ride gone wrong.
Now, I'm a 6-foot guy.
215 pounds, and it threw me 20 feet in front.
I'm Joe Gomez.
The death count has now risen to 6 people. 25 were treated and released at an area hospital, while another 25 are still being treated. There are reports that New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is hiring a legal powerhouse to represent him in appealing his NFL suspension. ESPN.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mines Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield.